Welcome back to another episode of Banter Box, a review podcast run by the team here at Mad Artists. Each week, we will be reviewing a different production, whether it's a movie, TV show, book, etc. And this week, we watched the SpongeBob SquarePants movie, the oldest one, not the new computer animated ones. My name is Danielle, and here are the Mad Artists that I have with me to help break this down today.
It's Samuel.
It's John.
So, I know Sam hadn't seen this. Me and John had both seen this.
Yes,
I grew up with this.
I have seen very little SpongeBob. The first SpongeBob I saw was for last Christmas. A good friend of ours, Candace, got me 2 seasons of SpongeBob because she said I needed to watch it. And I've watched about...
You watched like 2-3 episodes?
I watched a few more than that because they're so quick. We watched it for like an hour and a half.
I don't think we watched it for that long.
Yeah, it was a while. So like 4 or 5 episodes, but that's
okay.
It. That is the extent of my SpongeBob that I have seen.
I grew up with SpongeBob. I watched it for like my entire childhood. John's nodding. He did the same thing.
I grew up with VeggieTales, not SpongeBob.
I grew up with both.
John, SpongeBob and Larry the Cucumber have the same voice.
Yes, he
changed
pointed
my
that
mind.
Out, and they actually do have almost the
they
exact
have,
same
like,
voice.
The identical voice.
Depends on which part in VeggieTales you're talking about.
Yeah. Like early on his voice was super low, but like later, like from classic era on, like after the first, I think it was after the 4th episode of VeggieTales, it changed to kind of how we know it now.
I told him that I still think SpongeBob's voice is slightly higher, but the quality is the exact same.
And they both have the 2 buck teeth.
Yeah, they both have the 2 buck teeth.
Larry has one.
You're right.
Did you watch VeggieTales, sir?
Yes, I did. It's been a while. But yes, I did. I watched a
lot. I was going to say, I guess so. I don't know. The cadence to me with SpongeBob and... I don't know. It's a lot more nasal and unique.
I'll play them side for side for you after we're done.
SpongeBob.
I think they are extremely close. I do still think SpongeBob's is slightly higher most of the time. There are times when his voice gets lower and then it's like exactly like Larry.
SpongeBob has one of the hardest impressions.
His is very hard to do.
But meanwhile,
Larry
is not as difficult. That's why I say that it's a little bit more of a stylistically different.
Yeah, maybe. I know, I did also grow up with VeggieTales, but I didn't watch it all the time. Like, I would watch it every now and then. SpongeBob I watched all the time.
Every other Sunday school. Other Sunday school was just VeggieTales.
See, my mom used to work at, like, a Christian academy, and they just had a movie room, and you would just go in and pull a like, that's what I would do when she was working and I had to be there with her. I would just pull one of the VHSs, and it was usually between, the only two that worked were, like, George of the Jungle or a VeggieTales VHS. I would just pick one of them and throw it in. Yeah, no, I watched a lot of VeggieTales too, but I was a Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network kid, so this was like my entire life was SpongeBob. Yeah, but my parents actually enjoyed watching it with me a lot of the time. My dad has like a favorite episode that every time it came on, he would like run into the room and sit down. It was the episode where he was trying to convince himself he didn't need the water to hang out with Sandy, like, inside of her dome, and he's just getting drier and drier throughout the episode.
That's a great episode.
That was my dad's favorite.
My parents found it incredibly stupid.
Oh, see, my parents thought it was stupid, but my mom thought it was stupid. My dad thought it was, like, stupid but funny, so he liked it.
For the longest time, I think it was, like, second to third grade and back, I had to get permission to watch SpongeBob.
Oh, seriously?
My parents thought
I wasn't allowed to watch SpongeBob.
Yeah.
Well, you weren't allowed to watch anything, to be fair.
Yeah, but I wasn't allowed to watch SpongeBob.
See, my parents the only show they banned me from was Ed, Edd n Eddy. That was the only show they wouldn't let me watch.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to watch Pokemon, wasn't allowed to watch SpongeBob, anything.
Yeah, like I was oddly, like, it's funny because I'm the biggest Pokemon fan now, but first grade back, I wasn't allowed to buy Pokemon cards or anything. I was allowed to watch a TV show with select permission, but I couldn't buy Pokemon cards because at the time my parents considered it gambling.
Gambling?
Like, outright. Like, not even lying to you.
That's so funny.
They just considered it gambling because you pay for a pack of cards and hope you get the good stuff.
And that's, oh my goodness. That's
it was bad. It was bad. I wasn't allowed to play my first Pokemon video game till I was like in fourth or fifth grade.
Yeah.
Because my parents were that dead set that that was just not good for me. And it wasn't until I met Benton that my parents were like, hey, I guess you can get it.
It's like, okay, you can play this with your friend. Like, yeah, no, the only, I wasn't really, like, not allowed to play any games or not allowed to watch anything except Ed, Edd n Eddy, and that was just because around my house, you could say certain things. You could not say the word stupid, and you couldn't say the word butt.
Butt wasn't allowed. Jerk wasn't allowed.
Shut up wasn't allowed.
Shut up wasn't allowed at all.
Shut up wasn't allowed at all. Yeah. I don't know what the deal with that word was, but no parent wanted it to.
We couldn't call anyone stupid, and the reason they didn't like Ed, Edd n Eddy is they were constantly calling each other stupid, and so
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so my parents were just like, no, we don't want our kids learning from that. But everything else I was allowed to watch. Like, I was allowed to watch Courage the Cowardly Dog, even though it gave me nightmares. I was allowed to watch Codename Kids Next Door, Fairly Odd Parents, like everything else.
I don't know why y'all were allowed to watch this. There was so much adult stuff in this.
That's what I'm saying. This is
Mindy's
written...
gonna make a man out
oh
of you.
Oh my gosh, Sam was not okay when that part happened.
John,
when she said, "I guess I'll just have to turn you into men," Sam's head snapped to me and was like, "What? What's about to happen?"
Yeah.
That was too funny.
Well, I didn't watch this. That movie came out what?
It was so this movie, I'll actually just go ahead and say the whole thing. So yeah. This movie came out in 2004. It was directed, obviously, by Steven Hillenburg, RIP. He died in 2018. I think he had ALS. But, dude, yeah. he worked on SpongeBob up until he could not anymore. Like, he stayed in it. Steven Hillenburg,
I
love you,
man. Whenever good SpongeBob died.
I mean, to be fair, they kind of steered into, like, a weird territory before he died. Because, really, seasons 1 through 5, I think, are the only, like, really quality seasons. After that, it kind of just turns into, like, weird fluff. But I don't know that that was necessarily his fault. I think it was just, like, the times and comedy changing and him being like, I'm going to try to move with the times. And I'm like, no, you need to stick with what you know. But it was directed by him and Mark Osborne, and it was written by Derek Dryman, Tim Hill, Steven Hillenburg, Kent Osborne, Aaron Springer, and Paul Tibbett. And it stars Tom Kenny as SpongeBob, narrator Gary, and lots of other roles.
Tom Kenny.
Yes. Bill, I'm going to butcher his last name, Fagerbach, as Patrick Starr and other characters. Clancy Brown as Mr. Krabs and Roger Bumpus as Squidward and other characters. You can watch this with a Showtime subscription or with a Showtime add-on on Hulu, or you can buy or rent this on Prime Video, YouTube, or Google Play. And the IMDb summary for this is SpongeBob SquarePants takes leave from the town of Bikini Bottom in order to track down King Neptune's stolen crown. So yes, this is a 2004 movie. It's a little ways back. Sam, talk to us more about our directors and writers.
All right, so Steven Hillenburg, everybody knows him. He's the creator of SpongeBob, and that's basically all he did with his career. He was a marine biologist before, and then he worked on a Nickelodeon show a little bit as an animator, and then he created SpongeBob.
What show did he work on as an animator?
It was like Rocco's something. Oh, it was a 90s show.
Yeah, I was about to say, I've heard of it. I never watched it. Yeah.
Mark Osborne, who directed the live-action sequences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's interesting because he hasn't done much live action. The most live action thing he's done is directing some of Weird Al Yankovic's music videos.
Nice! That's awesome.
But you know him most from directing the 2008 smash hit Kung Fu Panda.
He directed Kung Fu Panda?
He directed Kung
Fu
Panda.
That was a great one, yeah. That's
he
awesome.
Also, I think he directed a Coldplay music video too.
So he's directed a lot of music videos and then one fantastic animated movie.
For the writers, most of them have done nothing but SpongeBob. Most of them are just SpongeBob writers, including, and most of them actually came with Steven Hillenburg from the Rocco the Show.
Oh, okay,
Derek Dryman, Tim Hill, and Paul Tibbett all have just done SpongeBob. Kent Osborne also has written a couple, these are the writers.
Mm-hmm.
Kent Osborne has also written a couple episodes of Phineas and Ferb.
Oh, nice.
And Aaron Springer, in addition to writing SpongeBob, also wrote, I believe, all of the hit early 2000s anime, Samurai Jack.
Oh, I loved Samurai Jack.
Samurai Jack.
I watched
great.
That all the time. Was that considered anime?
Fun fact, the...
Oh, absolutely.
So I guess
creator
that's the closest
of,
I've come to anime.
Fun fact, the creator of Samurai Jack also did the 2003 TV show that was just titled The Clone Wars that was the prequel series. Well, not prequel series. It was the original incarnation of what would later turn into Star Wars The Clone Wars in 2008. And it was in the anime style. It introduced... Oh. It came out before Revenge of the Sith. And it introduced a lot of the characters that would be in Revenge of the Sith, like General Grievous, all that.
It was very similar to that, like Samurai Jack.
Yeah, it looks drawing. Almost identical to Samurai Jack.
So, because Samurai Jack didn't look super anime, but the action was sort of anime.
Yes.
Yeah, because it didn't look super.
I mean,
like
the Clone Wars was straight up an anime. The original Clone Wars, the one season that they did, it was an anime.
Interesting.
So that's out there. I believe that's coming to Disney Plus soon, so I'll have to watch that.
I'll have to look at that.
Hey, you'll watch your first anime willingly if you do that. Awesome. So, do we have any preliminary thoughts before diving
this
into the plot?
This movie was so much. There were some funny moments in it, but it was just so much.
Well, that's the whole thing. Well, first off, and I'll throw this in now, but this was supposed to be the SpongeBob finale. This was supposed to end the show that had been going on since 1999. It was planned that way. The only reason the series continued after is because the film did so well and it made the show so much more popular that they just had to keep going. But this was supposed to be the end. So if that makes any sense about why they went so big and went so crazy, is because this was supposed to be it.
The intense animation changes were way more than I remember them being.
David Hasselhoff.
As soon as that part started, I turned to Sam and went, in my opinion, this is the most outrageous part of the movie, is when David Hasselhoff shows up.
I don't know. This movie was just mind-numbing. I really don't even have that many thoughts about it. It was just mind-numbing.
It's just so, like...
You have to just take it as...
You have to just lay back and let it happen. Because it's not going to hold back just because you want it to. It's going to give you everything it's got.
I will say this much. Props to SpongeBob writing team for actually writing a somewhat cohesive plot line.
Yes, they actually wrote a
cohesive
plot.
Because here's the thing with SpongeBob. Is SpongeBob is not known
for following a linear plot line. Yes, there are plot holes everywhere because it's just episodic. Like, the whole thing is just episode to episode. There are certain rules of the universe that they follow that they never break, but like they'll just do plot holes all the time and not.
Oh, absolutely. There was plenty of plot. There was plot holes in the movie. There's points where you cut to Patrick in underwear and start naked, and then he's.
And then he's cloaked. They don't really care about that.
Or, like, he's wearing, SpongeBob is wearing underwear, then he puts on his square pants, and then they fall open, and he's not wearing underwear. And it's like, what does that mean?
Samuel, this movie doesn't care about logic.
No. Yeah.
The end of the movie was him becoming a rock star, and the power of his rock is what destroyed all the mind control helmets. This movie doesn't care about logic.
I was going to say, he somehow...
He becomes a rock wizard.
Somehow someone managed to strap him onto a fly system in that whole meantime.
I love it. It's so good.
The best way I can describe SpongeBob is it's animated slapstick.
Yes, it's animated slapstick. It's absolute chaos. Everything that's happening is just ridiculous and isn't supposed to necessarily make sense.
No.
They are just playing into... Well, I mean, that also is a thing because SpongeBob in the series is a show within a show. Because they flash very often to people, like, sitting in their living rooms, like, watching something crazy that just happened on the show and just shaking their heads and turning it off. And this was, again, the show within a show. Like, the pirates are watching the movie.
I was gonna say, yeah, it's a show within a show. And you get... Because there's a couple episodes. I don't remember the pirate's name. But it's just Tom Kenny, the actual voice actor of SpongeBob,
like sitting there
dressed
like,
as a pirate.
Yes,
just writing out the story and like
where he would write it, the pirate would criticize his story next to him. It's so good.
And it was such like it was a bad in a realistic sense puppet, but it was a great puppet.
Yeah, it actually kind of makes sense that the parrot would criticize him because the parrot was voiced by Stephen Hillenburg.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool.
So it's kind of a meta thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it cracks me up just how the show works. Again, after season 5, it just wasn't really good anymore, so I stopped watching. But I love the chaos of it. I love, like, so many jokes in it are actually so good. But no, I just love it. It has a soft spot for me. So as I was watching it, yes, it was so much more extra than I remember it being, but I still enjoyed it. I didn't have a problem with it. But so the film begins with a live action sequence of a pirate crew eagerly awaiting their treasure, which are 3 tickets to the SpongeBob movie for like 30 pirates. They run in and slap down like 3 or 4 tickets, and the poor woman is just like, okay, and they
just barge in. It's funny, if you watch that chaos scene of like they're just storming the surf theater, they storm the scene, and if you look, as the pirates are like raiding the concessions, there's just one employee just like,
oh yeah,
hugging the cash register, but none of the pirates are touching him.
No, they're only going for the just raiding
for the concessions.
No, it's ridiculous. But they recover that treasure, sail to the movie theater, sit in the front row seats that were somehow left open. The whole 2 rows were left open.
Let's be honest, who sits in the front, like, 3 rows of a movie theater?
Someone who doesn't have neck problems and therefore wants to have their head just, like, angled back the entire movie.
Nobody. Nobody. I'm telling you that right now. But also, yo, poor everybody else in that theater, dog.
Because you know they all smelled bad, man.
Smelled bad. They were definitely not well-mannered.
Oh, no. You know that they were just, like, screaming and yelling the entire time. Somehow they would know the songs and start singing along with them for some reason.
Oh, absolutely.
But so in the actual movie setting, SpongeBob has a dream of becoming the manager of the Krusty Krab restaurant. Sam kept turning to me and going, I thought Squidward was the manager. I thought Squidward was the manager. And I'm like, just give it 30 seconds and you're going to understand what's going on. Like, because I was like, also, Squidward's not the manager. He's just the second in command because Mr. Krabs doesn't want to have to pay him to be manager. He's just the cash register operator. That's all he is. So SpongeBob wakes up, he happily prepares for the Krusty Krab 2 opening, which is right next to the original Krusty Krab, which is not the purpose of opening another restaurant, is to have it right next to the first restaurant.
It's quite literally, like, maybe 5 feet
from the original restaurant. It's so close.
It doesn't make any sense. Why doesn't anything make any sense?
To be fair, the only...
This is Bikini Bottom. Nothing has to make sense.
To be fair, the only other competition is the Chum Bucket.
And nobody goes there.
No one goes to the Chum Bucket.
So, more room for more customers?
Yeah, I guess it's just so, like, you know, he can
practice... The profit's going to the same guy, so I mean... Yeah,
he can practice social distancing. He can seat all the tables 6 feet apart and then put them all in the other one. Yeah, no, I remember even as a kid, that didn't make sense to me. Like, I didn't understand why restaurants open other locations. Mm-hmm. But even then, I was still confused, like, why it was next door. Not because I understood right. that it should be far away to have another location, but just because I was confused. I was like, why open a second one? Like, I don't know why. And as an adult, I'm like, yeah, I still don't get why they opened it right next to it. But again, I think that's part of the... Because the whole humor with SpongeBob is absurdity. Like, it's just it's slapstick absurdity.
It's just... As the beauty with animation is you can take it so much farther mm-hmm. than you can with regular slapstick. So, naturally, they're going to go overboard. For instance, it's explained in the show that there's actually a lot more to Patrick's house than a standard rock.
There's, and, like a lot sand. In there.
But in the movie, there's, like... Nah, rock, sand, bam. How he's that bulbous doesn't make sense. But it's just funny because
he's just fine.
Fat starfish.
It just works because he's Patrick and he can do whatever he wants. But he wants Mr. Krabs to promote him as manager of the new restaurant. At the ceremony, the title is instead given to his co-worker Squidward Tentacles. And I have always loved the sequence where SpongeBob just assumed that he said his name and then just runs up on stage and starts making his speech.
When he was talking to the microphone and Mr. Krabs was whispering in his ear and he was repeating everything, that was pretty amusing. That was...
Amusing, he says.
Yes, he says that was amusing.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite jokes.
No, there were a decent... Should I make
myself because I'm saying everything into the microphone?
The most embarrassing thing you've ever seen. No, see, there were things that Sam genuinely laughed at. He was like, okay, that was good. Like, I know you really liked him getting ready, that whole sequence where, like, he filled himself with soap and then it just exploded out. Yeah,
because that makes sense. That's what I liked it because it made sense.
You have to accept that SpongeBob not all things make sense.
SpongeBob is not supposed to make sense.
Well, okay, we watched Scott Pilgrim. That hardly made any sense, and you accepted that. Why can't you accept this for not making sense?
I don't know.
I think it's just because you don't understand the rules of the established universe that you're looking into, and that is throwing you off because you don't get, like, why is this happening and what does this even mean?
Yeah, because there are established rules. Like,
I mean, I don't know. It just felt very, and I get that it is. But what I don't get is everybody says, oh, it's a kid's show that is also for adults. And I'm like, no, it's just a kid's show.
It's a kid's show, but also for adults. Did you not hear what you said at the beginning of this podcast where you said there were so many adult jokes?
Exactly.
It wasn't like...
It's not meant to be a show for adults. What it is it's a show for kids that adults won't hate watching with their kids because they get...
They understood that their only audience... was not just kids.
Yeah, yeah. That they know that adults are going to have to watch these with their kids if they want to watch TV a lot of the time. So let's throw in jokes that the kids won't get, but the adults will get. Right. And they'll think is funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not something for adults, but it works for adults if you need to watch it. But yeah, so Mr. Krabs said that Squidward is more mature and SpongeBob is just a kid who is unable to handle the task, which...
Probably accurate.
I mean, probably. But I just loved... I have never related to something more than when SpongeBob is walking away and he's like, I'm ready.
Depression.
It was so funny.
Every adult was kind of like, that's about right.
That was so funny. As a kid, I remember thinking it was funny, but I out loud laughed last night when I watched that. I was like, that was funny. That was a good bit. So at the competing Chum Bucket restaurant, Plankton's computer wife, Karen, love Karen, reminds him...
Voiced by SpongeBob's wife.
Really?
Yep.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, Karen has been... my favorite character in SpongeBob for several years now. Like, as a kid, she wasn't my favorite character, but then, like, once I started growing up, I was like, yeah, she's so good. I love her so much. But he's told by her of Plan Z, which is an elaborate plot to steal the Krabby Patty secret formula, get rid of Mr. Krabs...
It's lemon-scented!
...and take over all of Bikini Bottom, which there's another adult joke, is when he opens the file and the centerfold falls out...
Oh, yeah.
That was another adult joke that, as a kid, I never got it, but then as an adult, when he opens it, and he's going like, oh, and the centerfold thing falls out, I'm like, that's an adult joke right there. But yeah, so at night, Plankton carries out the plan by stealing King Neptune's crown and sending it to Shell City, which, again, I love the King Neptune bit about his thinning hair. Thinning. I think it's very funny.
Here's the question. Why did he not just keep the crown?
What do you mean?
And, like, still do the whole Shell City bit, but just keep the crown in the chum bucket. Nobody would have ever found it.
I think, honestly, because he feared that somebody would find it, and if he puts it in Shell City, then... Well, if he puts it in Shell City... Well, I don't know. I don't know. I guess it's just because he did it because it was fun.
Samuel's not understanding the point of the fact that we just explained to him five different occasions that SpongeBob has and lacks... zero logical sense, and you're already exploiting the one of many plot holes in this film.
He could have kept it in the chum bucket, but he didn't, because the hero's journey couldn't have happened.
Okay, whatever.
Because this movie is a hero's journey. It's SpongeBob going on the whole hero's journey and then coming back.
It is. Joseph Campbell.
What?
Joseph Campbell's hero's journey.
Oh, okay. But yeah, so he takes it, sends it to Shell City, which I want to know how he got it to Shell City. Who'd he send it with? Who went to Shell City?
Now, because he wanted to, Danielle. Don't you know?
Again, one of the many plot holes in this movie.
I just wonder how he did it, because I'm like, he never left. He stayed in Bikini Bottom. I'm very... See, I need you to quit being so cynical, Samuel.
Really? Because when I ask questions, all I get is, it's a movie. You just gotta go with it. But when you ask questions...
Well, no, but you're asking, I feel like, more logical questions than I am. I'm wondering. You're demanding answers where I'm just curious about, I wonder where he sent that. Because, I am curious, how he got it there. Because it wasn't Dennis... Because Dennis went after the fact, so I'm curious about how he got it there that fast, but...
I mean, clearly he has connections, so he probably got it somehow or another.
He has a Shell City guy that just came, picked it up, went back. Yeah, so that same night, SpongeBob heads to his favorite ice cream parlor, Goofy Cooper's Ice Cream Party Boat, where he drowns his sorrows in ice cream with his best friend Patrick.
Another adult joke.
Because he's getting hammered.
Yeah.
And wakes up the next morning with a hangover.
It's wasted.
How the heckles you get drunk off of ice cream? Who knows?
Yes,
SpongeBob logic.
He gets shwasted and wakes up completely hungover and still a little drunk the next day. Like
a little bit.
He is hungover, but he's still a little bit drunk, just a little bit. When he comes stumbling in, he's like kind of drunk still. Oh, so good. I love the waiter so much now. Like having worked,
we all understand,
dude,
the waiter.
Having worked in customer service and watching him just stand there stoically, and he's like, "Why do I always get these crazy people?" And then he just comes up and goes, "Hey, dude, wake up, please. I want to go home, man. Like it's 8 a.m. Like." I was cracking up at that guy.
I did like SpongeBob's 5 o'clock shadow.
That was good.
There was also a subtle joke, because it's called the Nut Bar, and he's like, "Why do I always get the nuts?"
No, I love it.
He works in the Nut Bar.
He works in the Nut Bar. What do you expect?
I also just love the fact that Goofy Goober has clearly an adult and a kid section.
Yes, they have the bar where you can get drunk. Dude, I have to wonder, like, because in the world of SpongeBob, they are all adults. Like, SpongeBob is not a child, but he essentially is a child as an adult. Like, because when he says, and this is another, like, fun fact I found, when he says that he has gotten 374 consecutive Employee of the Months, that means he's been working at the Krusty Krab for over 31 years. He is a grown man, but I have to wonder, like, were they just getting drunk off ice cream, or were these alcoholic sundaes? A part of me wonders, like, just a little bit, because there was a lot of kids section.
Handles and stuff to pull that.
Or is it one of those How I Met Your Mother's things where he always refers to weed as sandwiches?
Oh yeah, it could also be that where they were just like pounding beers, but they made it ice cream, and they just said it was ice cream.
For the
like,
kids.
It could just be that. But yeah, so he wakes up with a terrible hangover. At the same time, King Neptune arrives at the Krusty Krab 2 to kill Mr. Krabs after Plankton framed him for stealing the crown. Which, Plankton, this is definitely his best plan, for sure.
Oh, out of all the stupid plans he's done, absolutely.
Yes, where he actively and successfully framed him, like, with the phone message and everything. I love the phone message. But no, that was perfect. And so SpongeBob shows up. He stumbles in just so hungover and drunk and starts bad-mouthing Mr. Krabs after he was like, "Will anyone speak for this man?" And he's like, "Yeah, I got something to say," and just starts going off. I love his whole rant. It's so good. It's everything you ever want to say to a boss that treats you like trash. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so upon seeing that his boss's life is at risk, he then promises King Neptune that he will retrieve the crown from Shell City, because that's another thing in SpongeBob, is that SpongeBob is selfless. Like, in the whole series, he only cares about helping other people.
The biggest law in this world is that the characters stick to their motives 100%.
Which SpongeBob is 100% a service character. He's like, I want to do
like,
things
for
other people.
Like, Mr. Krabs' entire gimmick
is money.
Is greed.
Yes, he is greed. He is the embodiment of greed.
Oh yeah. There's a whole like canon that each one of the main characters in SpongeBob represents the seven deadly sins.
Really? Which ones? I mean, I assume Squidward would be like, well, I don't know what Squidward would be. Would he be
sloth?
Pride.
No, not sloth.
Oh, he's pride. He so is.
And Patrick would probably be sloth.
Patrick would be sloth or gluttony. He might be gluttony.
SpongeBob would be gluttony. I don't know.
SpongeBob doesn't eat that much.
Sandy's wrath.
Sandy would probably be wrath, yeah.
Sandy, I'll explain it. So, Krabs is greed.
Okay.
Squidward's pride.
Yes.
Patrick is sloth. Sandy's wrath. I'm trying to remember the characters.
I mean, there's Mrs. Puff.
Plankton.
Plankton.
Plankton's envy.
He is envy, 100%, yeah.
There's Gary.
SpongeBob is lust.
He's lust? Why? Oh, because he's lusting after things he'll never get? Yeah. Because he'll never get his driver's license, he's never going to get, like, yeah.
And I'm missing, gluttony is the only one I'm missing. And think Gluttony is Gary.
Why would that be?
No. Patrick is Gluttony and Gary is Sloth.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I was about to say Patrick has to be Gluttony. That makes sense though. Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's a whole theory. You could probably Google it, honestly.
Yeah, that makes sense. And they really go into the whole Sandy, like, being Wrath thing and the, no, I'm Dirty Dan, like,
episode. Oh, yeah, the whole episode. Hibernation sequence.
Yes.
But that's an episode. That has nothing to do with
this. Yeah, that has nothing to do with this. But, no, that makes a lot of sense, actually. Yeah, but, because that's SpongeBob's whole thing, is he's always, like, I guess he is, you know, constantly just, like, lusting after, like, he wants to be appreciated. That's his whole thing.
Right.
He wants so badly for people to appreciate him, and so he's like, if I just help people all the time, then they'll like me, you know, so I'm just gonna keep doing that. But yeah, that makes sense. So he promises to go get the crown. Neptune orders SpongeBob to return with the crown in 6 days after Patrick...
Okay, this was one bit that I've seen before. I think I've seen it in meme format, and I've just heard the quote of...
He could do it in nine.
He could do it in nine. 8, 7, 6. Patrick!
I loved it. I have always loved that so much, and I loved it again this time.
I think we forgot the best sequence, though. It's like... Between you and me, I think my hair is thinning a bit.
Oh, no, it's not. No, it's not bald.
Bald. And I'm going to have to back away from the mic a little bit.
Yes, back away.
My eyes!
Oh, my God. It's so good. It's a play on the my leg that's through the entire series.
That's the biggest gimmick. Oh, it's so good. No. It's like the Wilhelm scream of SpongeBob.
It's so good.
My leg!
No, I love that whole, like, he could do it in 9. No, stop. He's like, 6 days it is then.
I was going to say, those guys could absolutely have done that in 10 days. I want to take note of this. Plankton's plan worked because Patrick messed up the due date.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
That's the only reason it worked.
Like, if they had the full 10 days, Plankton probably would have had to, like, do worse things. Although, then again, Dennis could have potentially also still caught them. Like, anything could have gone differently. But, yeah, so he orders him to bring it back in 6 days and freezes Mr. Krabs until then. SpongeBob and Patrick then head off for Shell City in a car shaped like a Krabby Patty called the Paddy Wagon. Which, that was one part where again, they kind of call out one of their biggest rules of the universe in that part where he hops in the driver's seat and Patrick's like, hey, I thought you didn't have a driver's license, because that's like one of the biggest rules of the universe.
You don't need a license to drive a sandwich.
Because he, like, that's a rule Steven, like, made so serious. He was like, SpongeBob can never get his driver's license. That is a rule of the universe.
Again,
he can never get it.
The whole SpongeBob universe character, it's solely based around what the character can and cannot do.
Yes. And one of his things he cannot do is get a driver's license.
No.
But he can drive this motorized sandwich around.
Don't
apparently
need a license
to
drive a
sandwich. But yeah, so back in Bikini Bottom, Plankton steals the Krabby Patty formula and uses it to sell Krabby Patties at his restaurant, the Chum Bucket, claiming that Mr. Krabs bequeathed the recipe to him. He also sends a hitman named Dennis to pursue SpongeBob and Patrick, which Dennis is Alec Baldwin. I didn't know that.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see that until, like, we were starting the movie, and it said, Alec Baldwin, Dennis. And I was like, what? So, yeah. And get apparently he did the movie because his kids were, like, huge fans of the show. And so he was like, all right, I'll do the movie. But yeah, so he sends Dennis after SpongeBob and Patrick, and then Squidward discovers the truth about Plankton stealing Neptune's crown and goes to the Chum Bucket. But before Squidward can leave and alert Neptune, Plankton presses a button on Karen, who then activates mind-controlling souvenir buckets to control the residents of Bikini Bottom, eventually renaming the city Planktopolis.
That's where the furthest Plankton ever gets in world
domination. Oh, yeah, dude. I mean, it's the closest he ever gets. Like, he tries so many times, and he fails every time. But this time, he could have made it if Dennis had just succeeded on his end. Plankton would have never, like...
He would have absolutely.
He would have never lost.
But also, dumb luck of the hero that Dennis lost, really.
Yeah. Well, see, and you can tell, now that I think about it, you can tell that this was supposed to be the finale, because another rule of the universe is that Plankton can never get the formula. And so when he gets the formula and he starts producing Krabby Patties and using the formula to do it, after this movie, like, all the episodes where Plankton is again trying to seal the formula, you're like, but you read it, didn't you? Did you not read it? Like, did you not memorize it? Did you not make a copy of it? It was supposed
to be a finale, but now you have to sit there and, like, pop it out of the story arc,
mm-hmm.
and it had to put it as its own thing.
Yeah, you have to just make it its own episode, basically, because right. If you try to put it, like, in line of the story or anything, that's just not going to work, because, yeah. you know.
It breaks so many rules.
Yeah, it breaks a lot of rules because it thought it was the end, so it was like, right. I'm going to break a bunch of rules. Then Samuel's favorite scene, SpongeBob and Patrick come across a trench and they lose their car, and Neptune's daughter Mindy appears to give them encouragement by falsely claiming she magically turned them into men, and they successfully pass the trench. No, as soon as she shows up and she goes, yeah, you know, kids can never do this, I guess I'll just have to turn you into men. Sam lost it for a good few minutes, because the scene, he kept being like, what's about to happen? Because she wasn't saying what she was going to do. She was like, yeah, you know, with my mermaid magic. And Sam's like, I can't handle this. I can't handle
subtle
this.
Subtle innuendos.
Not so subtle. Not so
See,
subtle.
See, as a kid, never got that.
Oh, absolutely.
I just thought, oh, what's she going to do?
But adult, you're like
mm. As an adult, you're like, oh, you gonna make a men? All right.
I mean, you know, of course, Scarlett Johansson is the voice actress of mm-hmm. Mindy.
Of course.
Yes, of course.
Which made it all that much more, because she just naturally has, like, a sultry.
Well, she's got
she does
the smoky
have a very,
voice.
Yeah, she
she's
has
got
a smoky
the, she's
voice.
Got the, she's got the, she's not a smoker, but she has the smoker's voice.
Well, yeah, but that's, like, she has a voice that I kind of describe as being, like, a, yeah, hers is smoky, it's not reedy. Because reedy yeah. is what I describe as, like, Megan Fox's voice.
Yeah.
And then smoky is what I describe as Scarlett Johansson's voice.
I agree with that.
Neither of them sound unpleasant. They're just both they're both very sultry voices, and they have, like, these qualities to them that make them
Scarlett
very attractive.
Scarlett Johansson's voice does not sound unpleasant.
No,
can
but, like...
Can confirm.
No, but I was saying... But I was saying, Samuel, I know you have a giant crush on Scarlett Johansson, but... But I was saying, like, y'all were saying it sounds like she smokes, and I'm like, it's not like that, though. It's just smoky. It's
right.
not like a smoker's
That's what
voice.
I was saying. Like, it's not like the, it's not the super annoying, like...
It's not like...
It's not raspy. It's smoky.
Right. Yeah, which is nice. But yeah, so she turns them into men, or pretends to, and they pass the trench with what Sam said was a Gilbert and Sullivan song.
It's a Gilbert and Sullivan song,
the,
straight up.
The whole, now that they're men...
I changed my underwear.
I did.
For men.
I did really like when the ham bone sequence happens, when they pick them up, and it's so random, but I love that the monsters are so confused that they just gather around. That
exactly.
one guy's like, come over here, dude. Come look at this. So they just come look, and then they're all just like, cool, and just like become their friends. I'm like, that's so funny, dude. I thought it was great.
What? It was so... I do love the self-awareness, and that's another one of the rules.
Oh, the show is so self-aware.
It's so self-aware. And I just love the scene of, like, yo, why didn't we just take the stairs instead of jumping off? And then Patrick, who's honestly the dumbest character in the whole cast, is like, I really don't know why we didn't take the stairs.
I don't know why we didn't do that. We should have. Oh, we forgot. One of my favorite scenes... or my favorite bits in the whole movie is all bubble blowing babies will be beaten senseless by every able-bodied member in the bar. Like that one guy off at the end.
Like they even like animated his mouth moving. Like there was like, they animated the fish thing. It wasn't just like an off camera thing. You see the fish go and beaten senseless by every man in the bar.
It's so good. I love it so much. That's another part that I love is when they're outside the window of the thug tug. And he's sitting there and he's like, yeah, so we got to come up with a way to get the key. And he's like, I don't know. Why don't we go in and ask him for it? And then he's like, what are you going to start fighting? And he just goes, Patrick, that's a terrible idea. It was just one of the most earnest and honest lines like that SpongeBob delivered. I thought
it was so
funny. It was so good. And he's like, oh, I won't do the distraction. Like, and he's just like, oh, okay, stupid.
It doesn't matter who does the distraction.
Like, you can do it if you want. And he's like, you call that a distraction? You just asked where the bathroom was.
I had to go to the bathroom.
It's so good. I love it. But yeah, so on the other side of the trench, SpongeBob and Patrick meet Dennis, who tries to step on them with his giant spiky boot, but gets stomped on by a bigger boot that belongs to the Cyclops, which is just a diver. The Cyclops grabs SpongeBob and Patrick and heads off to his store by the beach, and he puts them under a heat lamp. As they start drying up, they discover that the store is actually Shell City, and they find Neptune's crown and they die. Which Neptune's crown was $7
for I was gonna say that as well. $7 for this man's entire what to Neptune is his life.
No, I love when it flicked to it and it was like, there's Neptune's $7 for a crown. What kind of cheap material is this crown made of? I mean, it is from under the sea, so maybe it's like random tears of like bathing suits or something that have just been put together, so it's kind of crappy.
Probably.
Who knows? But actually, as a kid and even as an adult, I actually liked the twist that Shell City is a gift shop and that's like where all these like fish go to die. I was like, oh wow, okay. Like, even as an adult, I'm like, that's kind of still a good like twist of what Shell City is, like, you know.
I mean, although apparently dead fish can be brought back to life
by just sprinkling water on them.
I mean, hey, look, if it happens to SpongeBob and Patrick, it has to happen to everybody.
Yes, sure. Because how else would they escape?
Duh.
Sure.
It follows another rule in the show where it's like, Bikini Bottom is the only civilization you see throughout the entirety of the show.
Not totally true. Rock Bottom exists,
well,
remember?
Rock Bottom. But
Atlantic City.
They do actually go find Atlantis at some point. That is a thing that happens in the
series. And King Neptune doesn't live in Bikini Bottom. He lives in Atlantic City.
Yes, he lives in Atlantic City, but not in Atlantis, but there is Atlantis that they end up finding in, like, I don't think it's a movie, but it's like a SpongeBob special episode where they find Atlantis. It does happen. You can look it up. So Atlantis exists, Bikini Bottom exists, Atlantic City, which is, well, no, it's not Atlantic City, he's just in his castle.
Yeah, but they refer to it as Atlantic City, I'm pretty sure.
I don't remember. No, who knows? I just remember them saying King Neptune's castle.
They probably broke the rule. I mean, it was their last movie.
Yeah, they were just breaking all the rules. And then after that, they were like, well, I guess Bikini Bottom doesn't have to be the only civilization. Let's throw Atlantis in there. Like, you know. Right. Which Rock Bottom was only kind of a civilization.
I was going to say, I wouldn't call it
It was like a bus station.
Because if you want to get technical,
like,
there's also Glove World. But that's in the same vein or episode as Rock Bottom.
Yeah, there is Glove World. I forgot about Glove World.
We're gonna go on also. Let's focus on the
movie. Yeah, we gotta focus on the movie, but Glove World. I forgot about that.
It's
so stupid, and I love it. But yeah, so they dry up and they die. I forgot they legit die. They die and come back to life. So they cry before they die, just like crying and like singing the Goofy Goober song, which I just love that that's the way that they decide to go out, is they're like, we're going to go out in the dumbest way possible. Here we go. It's our anthem. I loved it. So the tear short circuits the lamp, which then releases smoke and activates the emergency sprinkler system, reviving them, as well as all the other dried out sea creatures being sold as souvenirs. And while the sea creatures attack the Cyclops, SpongeBob and Patrick just kind of take the crown and go out to the beach.
And then,
so after accidentally losing their way home, which I noticed stuff this time that I had never noticed before, like stuff that Patrick says that I've never heard him say.
The bag of wind joke?
Well, just like, no. So he takes a bag of winds and he's like listening to SpongeBob and he's doing it. And then, you know, the bag goes away and he's just like, oh no. And as he's running after the bag of wood, SpongeBob's like, no, he's like, I'm sorry, I was bad, I didn't mean to, like all this stuff, and I had never noticed him saying any of that before. And it got me. It was good. But yeah, so they're like, we lost our way home. And then live action David Hasselhoff appears and offers them a ride.
Why did he do this movie? He's David Hasselhoff.
I think I put in here, if I didn't put it in here, I did read why he did the movie. But I can't remember. Yeah, so his part in this movie was written before they even talked to David Hasselhoff about doing the movie. But he did it without even reading the script, mostly because his daughters were like, please! And so he didn't even read the script. He just accepted the role to play himself.
Kids, man.
It's so good. So he offers them a ride because he somehow just knows exactly where in the ocean Bikini Bottom is. So they accept it. On the way, Dennis catches up to them of riding sort of on the bottom of Bigger Boot out there, but he gets hit by a catamaran back into the sea as they're fighting, which I did love that. I mean, we know SpongeBob can't fight. We did, however, learn in a previous episode that like the bully episode where the guy's trying to punch him, that he just absorbed all the punches because he's a sponge.
Indestructible.
Yeah, like he's a sponge. But however, with spikes that might be different. Right. This was just from bludgeoning damage. He is immune to bludgeoning damage.
Immune to bludgeoning.
I love that he kept trying to bribe him with like goofy goober dollars, and then he was like, "Here, I have bubbles, you can take them," and then accidentally like burns his eyes. I'm like, everything he's doing to hurt this guy is an accident. Like,
oh, absolutely.
No, I thought it was great. Yet another, you know, good lesson for kids is like, you know, people will get their comeuppance if they're bad people. You don't have to also turn bad. You can just let them destroy themselves. Because that's what he does. Also, I don't think he died. He didn't die from the catamaran.
No, he just got knocked off.
So I have to wonder, he can't communicate with Plankton because Plankton's in jail. So is he just going to keep hunting SpongeBob and Patrick until he kills them?
Is SpongeBob actually in jail when the show comes back, though?
You mean Plankton?
Plankton, that's what I meant.
They actually do show, I don't know if it was the one after this, but there is an episode that begins with Plankton in solitary.
Right.
So it might be the first like episode after this, but I don't remember. But I know there is an episode that starts with Plankton, I think, breaking out of jail. But yeah, so back at the Krusty Krab 2, Neptune arrives to execute Mr. Krabs, and Mindy is stalling.
I'm stalling.
Stalling! Stalling? Stalling! And Plankton's just like, oh my god. But in the nick of time, SpongeBob and Patrick return with the crown.
And the crown
deflects the fire up to David Hasselhoff, who then gets crisped by the fire.
We're not gonna just gloss past the fact
the that initiating this, that launch this, sequence.
That the launch sequence. Even this as man's a kid, pecs parted like the Red Sea. And just, like, through raw muscle pressure, rocketed this crown into the ocean, which, like, this is not something coming out of the ocean. It's easier to come out of the ocean. This man's, the amount of force it would have taken to break the water and still keep that same momentum. Yo, David Hasselhoff got some power pecs.
Dude, even as a kid, I remember that was the weirdest part of the movie to me. As a kid, I was like, what's going on? Like,
fun fact, John, you'll like this. David Hasselhoff played Jekyll and Hyde on Broadway.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
He didn't originate the role, but he played him for a tour on Broadway.
I didn't know he was like a singer guy.
Isn't that his whole thing?
I don't know.
He's a rock star, right? Am I crazy?
I don't know.
I know he did a lot of model work, but I
know he sang something.
Yeah, he's a singer. That was his first thing. He is a rock singer who later became an actor, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But no, he was a,
I didn't
he
know
was
why
a,
he was famous, honestly.
He was a singer first.
Yo, but honestly, to be fair, David Hasselhoff got the shortest end of this stick. Because this man single-handedly saved the Bikini Bottom.
He did.
And got burned to a crisp.
Extra crispy.
He got extra crispy.
With the most horrible mouth dubbing, by the way.
Oh, I know. It was terrible.
It was so bad. Ouch, and his mouth moved something completely different.
Yeah, apparently all the scenes that were like filmed... that they had to, like, film where SpongeBob and Dennis and Patrick are, like, running along, like, his, like, back or his feet or something. Mm-hmm. They built a really big dummy of him that was, like, a life-sized replica of David Hasselhoff. And I think I read that he actually kept it for a long time just in his house, like a life-size replica of himself, until I think he sold it online in an auction in like 2014 or something.
That sounds about
right. But he kept it in his house for like 10 years, and I'm like, that would creep me out so bad if I walked around a corner and I saw me looking at myself, like, just in my house. I'd be so creeped out, dude.
No.
I'm not about that doppelganger stuff, man.
That's freaky.
But yeah, so they confront Plankton. In turn, Plankton just goes, okay, and drops a mind bucket helmet on on Neptune.
King
which,
size.
Nice and convenient that he was right under the trap door.
Naturally. I mean, otherwise...
You're not allowed to question the logic of the movie, Danielle.
Hey, I'm allowed to question it jokingly. Don't be bitter. You're
if
just
I'm
being
not
bitter,
allowed
but,
to, you're not allowed
you are
to.
Allowed to, but you're doing it in, like, a negative way. I'm doing it in a way where I come from a place of love.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so before Neptune can kill SpongeBob, Patrick, and Mindy, which that's dark, he was just gonna murder his daughter, SpongeBob just sort of throws out that he cheated. And Plankton's like, hold on, and stops and goes back and is like, no, I didn't cheat, I just bested you. And he's like, you never had a chance to be because you cheated. No, like, that's not why. So he's just cherishing the fact that he's a kid, and even though he's a kid, he's accomplished so much. And then he uses the power of rock and roll to play Goofy Goober Rock and freeze the citizens of Bikini Bottom with his rock powers. Which, probably the funniest part of that whole sequence still to me, as a kid, as an adult, is I'm a Goofy Goober, picture of a rock. Rock is one of my favorite parts of the entire yes. sequence. I love it so much. So Plankton tries to escape, but he gets trampled by all the citizens trying to come and thank SpongeBob.
Oh, yeah.
Yet again, getting stepped on, because that's
the whole gimmick with him.
He gets stepped on constantly. And then he's arrested for his crimes by getting scooped in, like, a snow shovel or something ridiculous.
Scraper, yeah.
I love it. And then King Neptune thanks SpongeBob for his bravery and unfreezes Mr. Krabs, who then gives him the title of General Manager of the Krusty Krab 2. And then actually, we didn't watch this, but in the post-credits scene, the pirates are still in the theater when an usher has to come and ask them to leave. And then they all sadly leave the theater.
Yeah, I remember that from the...
Does he stay the General Manager of the Krusty Krab 2?
The Krusty Krab 2 does not exist outside
not
of
exist
this movie.
Does not exist outside of this movie. That is why it's its own separate entity. You cannot physically...
So it's an alternate timeline.
Yes, this is an alternate timeline.
Yeah, also, they change... Yeah, it definitely is because King Neptune in the animated
series... Oh, he looks so different.
So different. Like, King Neptune looks closer to Triton from Little Mermaid.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because they... And they said... I didn't write it down, but in the IMDb fun facts, they did say that they did that because... In the movie, they wanted him to look just more like a king and less like a god, which is what he looks like in the series.
Right.
So they were like, yeah, we just want him to look like a king. We want big, but we don't want him like, whoa, like crazy huge.
Why
or
be
anything.
A king when you can be a god?
But that was the 2004 SpongeBob SquarePants movie.
Yay.
Samuel, I don't know why you gotta be so bitter, man.
It was okay. It wasn't terrible.
Like, you've been so quiet. Like, this is the, like...
It's not so... Okay.
Yeah,
I mean, I get it.
Tell us how you're feeling.
I get it that, like, you...
I understand.
Like I said, it's hard. I don't have a lot of thoughts. Because it was just... It was so much... It was so much. There were parts of it that were funny. There were parts of it that were painful. There were parts of it that were boring. It was just... a ton of information thrown at you, and I enjoyed aspects of it and aspects of it I didn't enjoy, and I get how if you grew up with it you would love SpongeBob, but it's really hard for me as an adult coming into it.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah, no, and that's what I was getting at. I mean, I was
like, I'm not gonna like, you know, crap all over you for not loving it, because you don't have
right.
to. Like, that's not a thing that you have to do.
Exactly. This is meant to be a talk. It's a talk back. Let's be honest.
Yeah,
talk
it's
back
just talk about what we, and it's talking to two people who have grown up with SpongeBob and one person who hasn't. So it's fine.
And you know, I get it. It's. You don't get the rules, you don't get the jokes, and
all we ask is then don't, like, call it trash when we like it.
I'm not calling it trash, I'm just questioning the rules of the universe.
Oh, of course, and that's fine, because, I mean, the rules of the universe are odd rules.
Like, they are.
They're not intuitive rules.
You can probably Google the rules of SpongeBob Universe.
Right, and they would list them out for you and be like, these are the rules.
There's a wiki fandom page for it,
yes.
Trust me.
There's a wiki fandom page for everything.
There is.
I mean, that is valid. I mean, actually, you're wrong.
Yeah. No, I see exactly where you're coming from. If I was watching this for the first time and had no, like, knowledge of SpongeBob, I probably wouldn't like it.
Oh, yeah, no.
Like, I don't know. I just... People talk about how it's SpongeBob is a masterpiece, or, like, SpongeBob is, like, just really well done. And I'm like, it's funny, and for kids, I can get why it's I can get why kids love it.
Yeah.
But it is not in and of itself really well done.
Here's what I'll say. I would never go as far as to call...
It's not Pixar.
SpongeBob a masterpiece.
It's not a masterpiece.
It's hilarious.
Yes.
But not a masterpiece.
No. I do
Teen think... Titans was a masterpiece.
I never saw Teen Titans, so I don't know.
Neither did I.
Dude, it's so good.
See,
if this... I recommend anything, watch the original Teen Titans. Not Teen Titans Go, Teen Titans. John's personal recommendation on this podcast.
That's John's recommendation of the week, everybody. Teen Titans. No, I see what you mean. It's not... I would never call SpongeBob a masterpiece unless I was just purposely being hyperbolic, but I do see why, like, the comedy of it is so clever. Like, the comedy is very funny, and they do so many different elements of comedy. Like, they don't just stick with slapstick, they don't just stick with, you know, sort of innuendos, they don't just stick with sarcasm, they don't just stick with subtle humor. Like, but they do all of it at different times.
They do dark humor, too.
They do. They do really dark humor sometimes.
There's that whole episode with the, with the health inspector.
Oh my gosh, that was so dark the whole time. They think they're trying to like get rid of this dead body for a whole episode, and that's an episode of SpongeBob. They're trying to hide a dead body, and they just keep making it worse.
Worse for themselves.
Do they stick with their rules where the dead body is
he's not yeah, no,
he's live action.
No, the dead body is not live action. It's a cartoon dead body.
They don't stick with their own rules.
Well, no, that's because he's not dead. That's the whole butt of the joke.
Oh, okay.
Is that they keep literally just making it worse and worse. The inspector is just unconscious.
But they think he's dead. So they're trying to bury him. They're trying to do all this stuff to him. But, like, he's not dead. And the whole episode is them thinking they've killed him and trying to bury him and, like, get rid of the body so that no one will know they murdered somebody. No, because was that... That wasn't the... That was the Pretty Patties, or was it? Or was it just like the... No, it was the Trash Pat. It was the Nasty Patty.
Nasty
That's what
Patty,
it was.
Yeah.
That's what it was. No, they use all these different types of humor that are really great, and I love that they experiment with all these different kinds, and it brings in, you know, the option for adults to watch it with their kids. So it's not just goofy slapstick. It's not just, you
and
know,
the
sarcasm
I think...
that kids won't get. It's like kind of all of it.
I think the reason why you find it so mind-numbing, Samuel, is because it's kind of just meant to be mind-numbing.
Yeah.
Like, it's supposed to be a thing you turn on, you do something else. You occasionally tune in for the joke, that's about it.
Well, like, it's supposed to be something to essentially, like, get your kids out of your way. Like,
more or less,
it's like, here, turn this on. And kids love it. So they'll be like, great, awesome. And they sit there for, you know, 5 hours while you're getting a ton of work done around the house and they're not bothering you. Like, but if you tune in at certain points, you might hear a joke that you're like, huh, that was actually pretty funny, you know?
Right.
Like that's what it's meant to be. And I think it does that job very well. But it is something that is hard to take in as an adult if you've never watched it before.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, for us, it has a nostalgia factor, but I guarantee it, like, you know, if it was another TV show with the same basis and, like
we'll
we
see
showed
how
to
Danielle
our kids.
Does, we'll see how like, Danielle does with Larry Boy whenever we get to that.
Yes, because that's something that I have never seen that. I have seen
we
Veggie
have to
Tales.
Larry Boy and the Bad Apple.
It's I have seen VeggieTales, but I haven't seen that, and so there is a solid chance that I may be just like Samuel in this, where I'm just like, oh gosh, like the whole time, and y'all are just like absolutely loving it and reliving your childhoods, which is fine. It's just like, it's just
exactly.
How it is.
For us, it has that nostalgia factor, but like, as a, like, it's engaging for kids, and it's mind-numbing for adults.
Yes, that's what it's supposed to be.
It's supposed to work that way.
Yeah, it's not supposed to be something that adults want to sit down and watch 24/7.
Yeah.
No, because if it was, then they would just make an adult cartoon like Family Guy or something. But yeah, so if you were to rename, because this is the most basic title. This is just the SpongeBob SquarePants movie. So if you could rename this something else, what would you rename it?
The Race to Shell City.
That's a good one.
This isn't bad. Give me a second to think.
See, mine I already thought of, because as I was filling out my little, like, you know, info here, I was thinking about how it's the hero's journey, so I would probably just call it a sponge's journey, and that would be mine.
I'll come back with mine in a minute. I really want to think about this, because this is hard.
Yeah, you can think about it, because there are a lot of good options for this one. So, while you're thinking, we're going to do our guessing game and distract you. So,
cool.
What do you think this is rated, critical score on Rotten Tomatoes?
I'm going to guess 81%.
I think 72%.
You were closer. It's actually a little lower. It's still way more than last week's movie, but it's 68% on Rotten Tomatoes. What about the audience score?
Audience score is going to be higher. I'm going to say audience score is about 83%.
Okay.
85.
You're closer again, Sam. It was 78. It was 78.
Yeah. I need a freaking swing lower.
And IMDb out of 10.
6.1.
6.9.
You're closer, John. You're only two off, 7.1 on IMDb.
I almost said that number.
You were so close. You were so close.
Oh, my goodness.
See, it did really well on IMDb, actually. But yeah, so this movie made a ton of money. Its budget was $30 million, and it made $141.1 million. It way overshot its budget by a lot of money. Let me know whenever you think of the time.
This is a weird little side note.
Yeah.
But doing this podcast and hearing the budgets and what movies have made really makes you realize just how much money Avengers Endgame made.
Oh, yeah, dude.
$2.8 billion. Nice. Billion.
All right, so so with these reviews, so first off, there's a good consensus on this. 88% of viewers rated it 5 stars, and most of the reviews I found, even if they were critical, didn't just say, like, this is trash. They were, like, they were sort of, like, giving it, you know, like, evenly weighing it, you know, being like, let's look at the positives and negatives. So I pulled a couple of...
It's not great.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not proud of it. Highway to Shell City.
Okay. Okay.
It's not my best work.
No, that's all right.
But it's hard to sit. There's so much, like Sam said, so much in this movie to try to time.
Yes, there's a lot. So, I've got a pretty positive review. I've got a pretty negative review, and then I've got one that is sort of in the middle. So I'm gonna just read them. I'll read the positive one first. This is from just Amazon customer, and it titles it. TV production teacher approves. SpongeBob SquarePants movie, despite its nondescript movie title, is a pretty okay film. I played it for my class a freshman on the last day before Thanksgiving break. A previous class had claimed that the story follows the hero's journey. I was curious how the film stacked up against classics like... This is where I start laughing. Like Citizen Kane, Casablanca, and Die Hard with a Vengeance. The film did not disappoint, per se. The film was pretty much exactly how I imagined it would be. Goofy, dumb, mind-numbing, just as my students are the day before a break. My students in the film were a perfect pair. It did the job of entertaining them, and there were times where I really cared about what would happen on SpongeBob's epic journey. Never dehydrate, SpongeBob. You are loved by a very weird generation of young people, and that's worth celebrating.
Yo, First of all, how dare she not bring up the biggest hero's journey movie of all time. Star Wars A New Hope is literally the hero's journey.
But yo, let's not dance around the fact, did that teacher just call her kids mind-numbing?
Yes.
She said they were the perfect pair.
Yes, she did.
She just called a whole generation mind-numbing.
Well, I'm assuming this is a she. I have no idea if it's a she or a he, because they didn't leave their name. But yeah, that was the positive review I chose, because there were lots of other 5-star ones, but they were basically just plot summaries, and right. I was like, I don't want to read those. So this one was 4 stars, but I liked the way she was like, honestly, it worked exactly for what we needed, and like, you know, yeah, it was ridiculous, but there were points where I genuinely cared, so, you know. And this was an adult seeing it for the first time, so I thought it was a good, right. like, perspective. So now... I'll go with the, you know, pretty negative review here. And even the negative review, it's 3 stars. So it's not the most negative review.
Yeah.
So this is from Michael W. White, and it's just titled, Disappointed. I loved watching SpongeBob with my grandkids. Unfortunately, this movie doesn't come up to the quality of the TV show. The only thing my grandkids and I agreed on was Patrick's line, did you see my underwear? Would you like to? That was a funny line.
That was good.
Save your money and tape the movie off cable before considering buying it. 3 stars. So that was the only negative one that I could find that was about the content and not about the product.
Right, because Amazon disc issues and whatnot.
Yes. Yeah. Now, this one is a bit long, but I wanted to read it because I like that this guy kind of goes like back and forth from positive to negative. And I thought this was kind of a good in between, considering I knew how this was going to go with us and Samuel. I was like, I want to get a good in between. So this is from Rupert White and it's titled Lost in Translation. Okay. After hearing people say, it was okay, or it sucked, or it wasn't as good as it could have been, I decided to break down and buy this movie. Having not seen it in theaters, I was taking a gamble, but being that it's SpongeBob, I had to get it. Okay, yes, Neptune was a bit of a disappointment. He was nowhere near as well-developed as the Neptune in the series, and Mindy, not really a great idea. Scarlett Johansson is an amazing actress, but she doesn't work well as a voiceover actress. It seemed a little forced and unrehearsed and just not cartoony enough. Then there was the issue of making the movie function on its own without having to see the series. That didn't work. Just make it like a 90-minute episode, and if anyone wanted background, they can just turn on the damn TV and watch it. And while the plot was a little lame, and the fact that no one seemed to care or notice that the Krusty Krab was closed, I enjoyed it. I mean, come on, it is a cartoon, and based on other cartoon series to movie conversions, I think this was the best attempt. If you think this was bad, go watch the Powerpuff Girls movie, and you'll want to give this movie the Oscar for Best Animated Film. So 3 stars is a fair score. But hey, you try to get writers of 11-minute shorts to stretch it out over 90 minutes. I'm sure it would be similar in results. I do wish Squidward was in it more. How funny would it have been if Squidward went with them on the journey? He would have caused a lot of trouble. Maybe next time. 3 stars. So I thought that was a fair review. It pointed out a lot of, like, you know, little flaws in the film, but he, at the end of the day, he was still like, I mean, it's a cartoon. You can't expect too much from it.
I will say, out of the entire vocal cast, I don't agree with the fact that he said Scarlett Johansson was a bad voice actress. No.
Yeah, I thought she was fine.
No, I didn't think she did a bad job.
I think what he meant to say was that out of the entire cast, like, you put a very serious actress or voice artist. Well, and just
doing a normal voice. Not doing, like, exactly. Some crazy voice.
It's a very serious, melodramatic read of a character in a world that is full of absurdism.
Yeah.
And absurd voices, absurd characters. Yeah, Krabs, Plankton, yeah. SpongeBob, and Patrick all have weird voices.
Yeah.
And then Mindy just has
Scarlett Johansson.
It's Scarlett Johansson.
Right, which is going to be odd because even Sandy has her crazy Texas accent, you know, like, and like Mrs. Puff has just sort of like, you know, older, like strained woman acting like voice, you know. So yeah, I mean, I see what they mean that she wasn't really cartoony, but even as a kid and as an adult, I was never bothered by it. Like, it never took me out. I was just like, oh, Scarlett Johansson, cool. Like, you know, move on. But yeah, so I thought those were pretty fair. Like, you know, I didn't want to pull ones that were just like just worshiping it or just like, you know, crapping all over it. I was like, let me pick some that are a little like in between, because that's kind of where we land on this as a team. So I have a couple more fun facts that I haven't already mentioned. So first off, I gotta sneeze. So this was the last animated Nickelodeon animated movie to be released on VHS. So somewhere out there, there's a VHS of this movie.
goodness.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it was 2004, so that tracks.
Yes. So this was a very interesting thing that I just kept reading, and it kept getting like more obscene, so I had to read it. And there's something towards the end that I think y'all will really like. So at the time the movie came out, nearly 5,000 giant inflatable SpongeBobs were ordered to sit on top of Burger King restaurants as part of the movie campaign. In November that year, it was reported that a number of the inflatables had been stolen. There were thefts reported in 10 states. Russ Klein, Burger King chief marketing officer, was quoted as saying that they didn't know the motives behind many of the apparent sponge nappings, but they had received a ransom note in the state of Minnesota that read, "We have SpongeBob, give us 10 Krabby Patties, fries, and milkshakes." Burger King even offered a reward of a year's supply of Whoppers paid in Burger Bucks to anyone who had information leading to the safe return of the inflatable. Some of the inflatables were eventually returned. However, others showed up online selling for as much as $1,000 on eBay. Steven Simon and Conrad McCure were arrested for stealing one of these inflatables when they faced a $500 fine and up to 18 months in jail. Simon was quoted as saying he was proud of what he did. As a result of these crimes, when Burger King released Star Wars Episode III: Revenge of the Sith toys the next year, they were jokingly escorted in by stormtroopers to safeguard their delivery to a Burger King in North Hollywood.
That's incredible.
I thought that was really funny.
That, in and of itself, should be a movie.
I know. As I was reading it, I was like, this sounds like the plot of a movie.
It really does.
It's so good. Especially when I saw the word stormtroopers in this, I was like, I'm not even going to read the entire thing. I'm just putting it in here because I have to read it for my boys.
The fact that somebody sent a ransom note. Yes! Not for money.
But for Krabby Patties. Fries and milkshakes.
Like, what?
It's so good. And they offered a year's supply of Whoppers for any information on the Sponge's return.
At that point, if you're the people who stole them, you go, hey, Burger King, I saw these in this warehouse over here. Mm-hmm. And then they get them back. And you get a lot of money, basically.
Yes, you get a year's supply of burgers. No, it's so good. No, I thought that was really funny. And the bag of winds that Mindy gives to SpongeBob and Patrick is a reference to the stories of Odysseus from the Odyssey. In the story, Aeolus gives Odysseus a bag of winds to guide him and his crew home. So I thought that was cool.
That is interesting. I haven't read...
I read the Odyssey in high school, but it has been a while.
I'll say it's been a minute. Yeah. I've read it. It's just been a minute.
And this is actually the first time in the franchise where various characters use weapons that can kill someone. Like the spike shoes and... And just like several... And the trident. Triton, this is the first time in the franchise where straight up murder weapons are used. This is the second Nickelodeon project to star Alec Baldwin. Apparently, he was also in the Fairly Odd Parents Channel Chasers. I did not know he was in that.
That was a great one.
That is a really, really good Nickelodeon movie. I really like that. Let's not act like anyone doesn't start like feeling their heartbreak when Cosmo and Wanda are getting dragged towards the taxi and Timmy can't remember them because he's a grown up now and he's just like, why do I have to do this? And it's like, no, you have to. Like, so, no, I remember like being so upset and being like, you are not gonna let them go away. Like, no, that was a good movie. But John, I know you've been waiting for this moment ever since I told you what movie we're watching. Are you ready to recast us in this?
Oh, yeah. I want to see what y'all suggest. I want to hear what y'all have, because I know what
Well,
I have.
I already said that I think you, John, would either be King Neptune or Mr. Krabs.
John would be Mr. Krabs. 100%. We've already seen him do a role similar to that and absolutely freaking nail it. He'd be Mr. Krabs.
Yeah.
You would do a really good Mr. Krabs. That's a Halloween thing we should do as a group, and you should be Mr. Krabs.
Oh, my goodness.
Samuel, I mean, I don't want to put you as Squidward.
She's Squidward.
But I feel like you have to be Squidward.
I'm fine with that.
She's absolute. I can't not cast him as Squidward.
I feel like you would have to be.
I'm fine with this.
Danielle's Karen.
Yes! I was so hoping you were going to say I was Karen.
You can't really, like, no, like, you I'm not saying you couldn't be Plankton, but I mean, that's just a play on the fact that...
that no, I'm tiny,
That's all it's playing on. That's not enough.
As I was watching
that.
The movie, I was like, if they don't say I'm Karen, they're wrong, because I am.
100% Karen. 100% Karen.
I'm sure you could pull it off, but like, I don't know, I just don't see you as Mindy.
I really could play her, but my type is much more Karen. Yes, I think that is solid. Mr. Krabs, Squidward, Karen.
Russell would be SpongeBob.
Russell could play a good SpongeBob. I think he could. And I guess Ben would have to be King Neptune, I guess. I don't know. I don't know who's Neptune. Can anyone in our group play Plankton? I don't think they can.
No, not really.
No.
Not well, at least.
No.
I mean, you could probably put Samuel there, but...
I don't know. Sam, are you good at... you always say you're not great at doing over-the-top acting, and that's a big thing with Plankton.
I can do it. I'm not good at doing voices.
I mean, he doesn't really have to have, like, any intense voice except just evil overlord.
Yeah. I don't know. I could do Plankton, but I think I'd do better as Squidward.
You would definitely do better as Squidward. but yeah, so, Samuel, it's time for your favorite question.
Wait, hold on. I know what Ben would be.
What would he be?
Gary!
Ben's... Ben's the waiter.
Oh, he is the waiter.
You're right. Ben's the waiter.
You're right.
He totally is the... Hey, buddy, I want to go home. Like, yes, that's Ben. That's 100% Ben. But it's time for Samuel's favorite question. And I assume he's going to have a lot to say. Favorite and least favorite moments of this one. Because unlike other movies you watched, this is a movie about moments.
My least favorite parts are all the hyper-realism drawing scenes.
How do you mean? Like, what do you mean by hyper-realism?
There's, like, a scene where they're, like, getting, like, strangled, or it's, like, the really crusty, like, up-and-close...
Oh, I see. I know what you mean,
like,
yeah.
The really hyper-realistic...
So, basically, the stuff that SpongeBob leaned into, like, after season 5, where
right.
they just... Yeah, where they started getting more into gross stuff, and, like... Yeah. I know what you mean. A lot of kids' cartoons started doing that, where they were like, oh, it's so funny to watch this guy's toenail get ripped off, and it's like, that's gross, though. I don't want to watch that.
Well, I mean, it's not even like, I mean, cartoons really didn't get into that. It was just, like, the disgusting factor of just, like,
yeah.
It wasn't, like, an attractive thing to look at. Like, I'm fine with, like, if you want to look at a great example of hyperrealism, Handsome Squidward.
Oh, Handsome Squidward is great.
That's great hyperrealism.
Yes.
However, the whole, like, crusty eye, like Beavis and Butthead kind of drawing.
Yeah.
I was like, ugh, that's not very fun. Honestly,
yeah,
I
mean, yeah.
too many, I will say my favorite scene is, I thought you guys had some salad left on your lips from whenever you ate lunch. It's like, this is a real mustache. Literally just muscles out of Stash
he just
on
goes,
the
is
spot.
Is he a mermaid? I've always liked that line. But yeah, I think I agree. My least favorite would be definitely the crusty eyes, because I don't like eye crust on anybody. And then as an adult, there were like a couple of the scenes where they just went a little too long with some of the bits that they were doing, where I was just kind of like, I mean, you could have made that shorter. Like, you didn't have to do all that. The length of the bubbles in the bathroom scene was long, and then the whole rednecks at the gas station scene was a little long.
The laughing was a bit excessive.
Yeah, so there were certain things that went on long that I was like, yeah, those are probably my least favorites. And then my favorite is definitely the waiter, and then definitely the line, did you want to? Like the
Did you see my underwear?
No, Patrick.
Nope. Did you want to?
Yeah, those are probably, like, two of my all-time, like, favorites.
Like, that man straight up, like, has his hands on the waistband, ready to just pull him back down.
So, my least favorite moment is anytime they showed an animated butt on screen.
I think they did that, what, twice?
Twice.
They did it twice.
Wait, we forgot about the moment where Patrick crashes
crashes into the stadium and the whole thing sets
long
on fire.
Long after SpongeBob has left.
Oh, yeah.
Crashes in, it's like... Hello, is anyone there?
Did you see my butt?
It like pans out to the Bikini Bottom. You see a fire going. It's like, did you see my butt?
And then my favorite moment is...
You can do it in 9, 8, 7, 6. Patrick!
That was good. Did you... What'd you say your favorite one was? I already forgot it, John.
I thought you guys had a piece of salad stuck on your lips from lunch.
Yeah. No, there are a lot of parts that I like about this movie, but I'd have to go back through the plot and remember all of them. But the two that come to mind are the ones that I said. Out of, we'll say...
Paddy wagons.
Out of 10 paddy wagons, how would you rate this movie?
7.5 paddy wagons.
All right.
5. There were some good moments in it, but I would never watch it again if I didn't have to.
Okay, that's fair enough. Still better than what your 0 parrots for Dr. Doolittle. Yep. So I'll take it as a victory.
I was gonna say that's a W.
I'll take it as a victory.
Definitely better than Dr. Doolittle.
Oh, way better than Dr. Doolittle. Yeah, I would probably go with a solid 7 paddy wagons. I think it's good. And I think a lot of it still holds up from childhood. But there are definitely some things that if you watch it as an adult, especially if you're watching it for the first time, are just going to be, as the review said, kind of lost in translation. They're going to be hard to digest. Things might go on a little too long. But you do kind of just have to open yourself up to the absurdity of what you're watching.
Right.
Like,
and it doesn't really, you know, it's a comedic film.
Yeah.
It might be a hero's journey, but it's still a comedic film. So, like, every comedy, it doesn't really, unless you go, like, lengthy periods without, like, seeing it, you're going to run into the issue of rewatchability. Like, rewatchability is a big thing for me in movies, because it's like, can I go back to this one? Like, the entire Avengers saga, I could go back and watch.
Yeah.
And still have a great time. Well, because
they're so dense.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You know, same with The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings. I can go back and watch those just fine. But with a comedy, it's kind of hard because it's like...
Oh, see, I'm so the opposite.
It's like the rule... It's like the rule of threes with comedy. It's like, you know, you like watching it in succession, it's kind of like, okay, I get the joke. But, like, it's playing itself out.
Oh, see, I'm so the opposite. Like, I can rewatch comedies for days. I can rewatch... I mean, that's all I do is I rewatch comedic TV shows, like, all the time. I can rewatch comedies. I can rewatch, you know, my favorite movie ever, National Treasure, a million times in a row and not care that I'm watching the same thing over and over. So, like, when people say rewatchability, I'm like, I can rewatch basically anything unless it's downright terrible like Dr. Dolittle.
I'm just saying, whenever it comes to my grading system, rewatchability takes a big accountability into it. Yeah, 7.5. I think it mostly, the hyper-realism scenes kind of took me out a lot. So that's why it lost a lot of points for me as well. The comedy was great. It's just hyper realism scenes. You know, the length was a bit much, you know, the whole like cowering before the big boot and like then getting crushed by the bigger boot. It's like, okay, that could have been done quite literally. Like instead of like having him cackle for like a minute or two, you could have just sit there and just,
I wasn't as mad about that one. But yeah, I don't know. I think there are definitely obviously different types of people, even just in this room. So if you're more like Sam and John and rewatchability for comedies is really hard for you, then it's going to be hard to watch this one again. If you're a little more like me, where I can rewatch comedies a million bajillion times and not get tired of them, then you could probably watch this one several times and still be entertained and find new things like when you're watching it. Because that's another thing is SpongeBob packs so many jokes into such a short amount of time that you'll probably find new things when you watch it. I mean, I found new things when I watched it this
time. Yeah, I didn't notice the pinup joke till, or pinup or magazine joke.
Yeah.
In whenever I last watched it and I picked it up on this one, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, there are like definitely different things that you can pick up, you know, if you decide to watch it again. So yeah, if you have kids and, you know, your kids like SpongeBob or they like cartoons, I think this is a great movie for kids. And it's a good movie to watch with your kids because there are going to be jokes that go over their head, but you get it and you're like, oh, that's kind of funny. So yeah, I definitely think, this is, you know, a good recommendation for, you know, for like families because, you know, parents can watch and know that their kid isn't going to understand the, you know, adult jokes or the innuendos that are being made, but you get it and you think it's funny. But yeah, so I think that's a pretty solid rating. Any final thoughts before we end?
I don't think so. I'd rather not think about this anymore.
Why you gotta be so mean about the thing we love, not, Sam?
It's part of it is just to mess with y'all. Y'all know that.
Yeah, I know.
It's funny to... they stop by a gas station, but they never run out of gas.
No, they never run out of gas.
And my biggest... I'm genuinely asking, what does this thing run on?
I mean, John, I think it runs on grease.
John.
Does it
run... Stop asking questions!
I am going to chuck this can at you.
I do think it runs on grease. I think that's what it is. But I think they're just dumb, and so they stopped because they saw a gas station, and they were like, we should probably stop and fill up. But
that is fine. Fair. SpongeBob does not know enough about cars.
He doesn't know
cars.
How to drive. Like, what are you talking about? Cars. That's what I think, is that he just stopped because he saw a gas
station.
But
it's station. Also funny because Patrick is, like, low-key, like, a driving genius.
He does know how to drive really well.
Like, it's actually horrifying how good that man is at driving.
That's, like, a thing in the series, that he just swooped in and, like, got a license instantly, and SpongeBob was like, what? Like, I'm so smarter than this guy. What are you talking about? He got a license. And Patrick is, like, driving him around and stuff. And he's just so bitter about it.
Oh, yeah.
No, I thought it was very funny. But yeah, so I think that's all that we have for you guys for this week. So again, you can follow our Instagram and Facebook at Mad Artists Entertainment or our Twitter at @artists_mad. We are currently in production, like heavily in production for our audio drama of the Call of Cthulhu. We're going to be putting out more information as far as shout outs for all of our voice actors, where you can find them, if they have like pages or websites or anything like that. We'll also be putting out information about when we will actually be releasing it and what the channel will be called, because it's going to be a separate channel from this, obviously. But it'll be, again, a permanent channel that you can go to for this audio drama and any audio dramas that we produce in the future. But yeah, if you have any questions, comments, corrections, or recommendations for things that we should review in the future, you can email us at banterbox.madartists@gmail.com, or you can just, direct message us on any of our social media, and we will take it into account as well. Remember to leave a review wherever you're listening to us. Be sure to participate in our weekly guessing games with the handstand and our bi-weekly virtual request line. This next week, we are not going to have a podcast since it's Easter Sunday and we always record on Sundays. I know Samuel and I are going to be out of town. People are going to be spending time with their families. So we're taking a break for Easter, but we will be back the week after. So the Sunday after Easter we'll be recording, and then the Wednesday after that will be when the podcast is released. So won't get it next week. You'll get it next time. So thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you on the next one. Bye-bye.
Bye. Did you see my butt?